The Worldview with Adam Gilchrist is brought to you by Emirates. Fly Emirates first class and business class and experience a new level of comfort.
And Adam joins us on the line from London. Now, we sort of predicted it yesterday, Adam, that the UK Prime Minister Theresa May was going to ask for her stay of a Brexit execution.
Yes, she's done that. Although I suppose the axe still hovers, that's the point, isn't it? So it's quite astonishing, really, that the vote we were told could not be delayed on a deal that cannot be renegotiated has been delayed in order to try to renegotiate. So, I mean, politics is a hairy old and sometimes smelly wet dog as well, isn't it? So today, basically, Theresa May is now scouting off around Europe. She's meeting the Dutch Prime Minister and the German Chancellor, Margaret Rutte and Angela Merkel. She's going to try and see if there's any budging in the agreement that a number of European leaders have said there is no budging in. Essentially, she stopped the vote because she was certainly going to lose it. We kind of knew that, though, from a long way out. And indeed, by stopping the process, you could argue she's in a weaker position because she goes to Europe saying, not my deal's being defeated, we need to do something, but I had to stop my deal being defeated. It doesn't look quite as strong, perhaps. The Scottish Nationalist leader called our Prime Minister a coward. The Liberal Democrats called her extremely weak. The Labour leader used the word shambolic. One really interesting comment, because, I mean, there is so much toxicity in all of this. Sir Nicholas Soames, a Conservative MP, grandson of Sir Winston Churchill, and a Remainer, and indeed he wanted a second referendum at one stage. He certainly called for that. He's been labelled a traitor in some social media accounts. The kind of vitriol that's been slung around at politicians and even amongst politicians is extraordinary. The whole debate has just got really poisonous.
And of course, the markets are responding in that way. Our very own Rand is being affected by developments in the UK at the moment. A former Russian policeman turns out to be a serial killer.
Yeah, we already knew that he was a mass murderer. He had, you know, he was in prison for 22 killings, which is just horrible enough. But now he's been found guilty of 56 more. 55 women and a policeman were killed by this guy in a period ending a decade ago. This guy, Mikhail Popkov, called the werewolf killer, basically used his police uniform and his police patrol car in Siberia to persuade victims to come in. He offered them late night rides home and then he would rape them and kill them with an axe or hammer. This guy got away with it, of course, for so long because he's a policeman. His motive, apparently, and this came out in court, was that he claimed to be purging the Siberian city of Angarsk of immoral women. I mean, that sort of goes back to Jack the Ripper, doesn't it? That sort of approach. But he was caught ultimately because police matched his, well, tire tracks found close to a couple of the murders with his tires and also some DNA cross-referencing. But he was actually arrested on his way to buy a new car. It's entirely possible that had Popkov got the new car, they'd never have matched the tire tracks, etc., etc. However, I mean, ultimately, they got him anyway for other killings. But in total, that's just, you know, 78 murders across 15 years. Horrible.
Horrible indeed. Let's finish off with a damning report on Jewish victimizations.
Yeah, this should be a serious wake-up call, shouldn't it? What we have is a survey of 12 EU nations where it's been found that anti-Semitism is getting worse and Jewish people are increasingly speaking about the risk of harassment. The EU's Fundamental Rights Agency says that 99% of Jews consider it to be a problem in their country. A quarter have been verbally abused in some way. Hundreds have been physically attacked across Europe. Those Jewish people who have been directly affected and have spoken about this, it's 50% in Germany, Belgium, the Netherlands, Poland and Spain, more or less. France reports the biggest anti-Semitism fear level. Even the UK and Hungary, a third of Jews have experienced some kind of anti-Semitic threat level. Now we know this, we have the legislation, let's make sure we follow it up.
Indeed. Adam, thank you very much for your time this morning. Adam Gilchrist is back with Kinokamis tomorrow morning. Well, as you know, every day on the Emirates Worldview, we've been asking you to send us a question on any world topic that you want to know more about. You stand a chance to win R1,000 by voice noting us a question, just like David has done.
Why do we call important people bigwigs?
Juanita Marshall is a linguistic researcher, and she provided us with this answer.
We have French King Louis XIII and his premature baldness to thank for this. The king took to wearing a wig to hide his bald spot, and by the middle of the 16th century, this had kick-started what would become a new trend. Wigs then became virtually obligatory for all European nobility. Back then, they were known as periwigs, but by 1675, it was shortened to wig. Because wigs were expensive to buy and maintain, they became the preserve of the rich and powerful. In Bourbon, France, the wealthy would often try to outdo each other by wearing bigger and more outlandish wigs. Some even needed scaffolding to get them in place. Thus, big wig became associated with the rich and well-connected.
That's very interesting. Thank you very much, Juanita Marshall, linguistic researcher. And thank you, David, for your question. It's won you R1,000, courtesy of Emirates. Fly Emirates Business Class to experience a new level of comfort.
If you have a question on an interesting topic for Emirates Worldview, send us a WhatsApp voice note on 072-567-1567 or hashtag Emirates Worldview on Twitter. There's more Emirates Worldview on capetalk.co.za.